Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Joining me now is a Cork comedian, best known for social media video sketches which have over 1 million views. Yeah, he's bucket loads of talent and is back on tour after a very tough time earlier this year. It is Tyke Hickey. He's on the line. How are you, Tyke? How's it going?
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me. How are things?
Oh, it's great to have you. Now, you're back. Your new theatre show, In One Eye, Out the Other, is about... Is it a comedy show? It has serious topics because it's actually about your own experience with alcoholism. Is that right?
Yeah, like, believe it or not, it is a comedy show, even though it is about my alcoholism. So okay. It's just me looking at the more amusing aspects of what is obviously like a horrendously difficult experience for anyone to go through. But like, I think when I was coming up with the show, I just thought that like a lot of the stuff on TV and film, it just was all kind of relentlessly depressing. Whereas my own experience of my own drinking was like, it was much more bizarre and it was like funny incidents and stuff like that. So I think to try and get the message across about addiction, I think the route that I found easier anyway was to try and make people laugh first of all, and then kind of like tuck the serious thing or the lesson in towards the end. So that's what I tried to do with the show. So on a good night, people are laughing and they're crying.
Oh, good. Delightful. That's, I'm all about that.
It's like life.
Yeah, exactly. But when did you first know you had problems with alcohol?
Oh, like as soon as I started drinking. The first night I drank for junior cert night. I was telling a researcher and like I just felt like I became this kind of superhero overnight. So a lot of people who would have addiction issues would have a similar experience where it just feels like rocket fuel. So you go from this kind of nervous kind of lad to having a couple of cans and then you feel like you can fly, like literally you're a superhero. Now, I know everyone feels like that up to a point, but I think the way it affects you when you're an addict is just different. So from the outset, I would want to kind of keep drinking when other people were finished and I never wanted the party to end. And then from the outset, I was kind of would start going missing or I wouldn't be able to finish projects. So for instance, when I was doing my leaving cert, I knew I had to stop drinking around that time because otherwise I was worried that I wouldn't be able to do my exams. But this was all kind of going on beneath the surface because I was actually like quite a good boy and fastidious enough like to the outside viewer. But like inside, I knew if I was going to drink that I mightn't study and I might miss exams and stuff. So I was trying to negotiate my alcoholism from the outset, I suppose.
You said it was a series of funny experiences. Tell us about the time you once went for a pint in Cork and ended up in London.
Yeah, well, we were hanging out with these musical theatre types and they were doing a show in London. So myself and my buddy, we just went out for a drink with them and then we found ourselves in Stansted and then we found ourselves at some sort of musical event in London over mines and then pottering around London with no money to get home. So, but those kind of things would happen like regularly. Another time I woke up on a roof in Newmarket because we'd been drinking Puccin the night before and just woke, beautiful day as well. So it was a lovely day for it, just lying down on someone's roof and getting a nice little tan. So like every day was an adventure. But there kind of comes to a point then where, like, to be honest, you're having a laugh when you're in it a lot of the time. But then you realize when you get into recovery that there's all these people around you that didn't find it kind of quite as funny. Do you know what I mean? So that's why,
like, family and friends and people nearest and dearest, right? Okay.
Exactly. And it's like, but I think everyone goes through some version of this. So it mightn't be drink or drugs, whatever. But I think everyone is kind of, I think everyone's kind of addicted or obsessed with something, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Now, that could be shopping. It could be people addicted to fitness. People can be addicted to the wellness industry we were talking about yesterday.
Absolutely.
I do agree with you on that one, Tyke, I have to say. How's recovery going?
Great. Like, the recovery from alcoholism is straightforward because I get a lot of help with that and there's so many people in the same boat as you and like the resources in Ireland that like the you know what the government provides isn't great but like what other addicts do for each other is extraordinary. So that's the good news for people who might be struggling. But I think there's like to touch on what we're just saying there, like I think work is another addiction as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's enough. Like, I was actually just listening to your previous caller there. What a breath of fresh air for someone to say they give their kid a wellness day. Like, I just think that is so
Haven't
amazing.
We come like, so far, Tyke, to hear a parent say that on national radio? You know, I mean, think about that in the 80s or 90s. I mean, that just, like, we would never have gotten that.
Yeah, but like, aside from the kids, I think adults should be given wellness days as well. Like you know, you were just saying about RT there, and I was thinking myself as well, because recently there, the reason I got into a bit of trouble, I think mentally, is because I was so busy with a few different projects and I couldn't take a wellness day for myself. At least that's what I was telling myself anyway. I couldn't take a day off. Like, if I could have taken a day off when I was feeling really stressed out, I don't think I would have gotten into the kind of hole that I got into. But I feel in our society, it's kind of, it's like frowned upon to take a day off. You got to keep going. You got to keep pushing.
This work, so, the culture that, you know, you have to be on 24/7 and have a million things on the burner. It's so unhealthy and doesn't do anybody any good. I mean, nobody on their deathbed ever says, oh, I wish I worked more. So we got to think about that. You're dead right. We have lots of conversations about this on the show. And I think you're right. But I think we are maybe turning a corner. But this is quite, you know, fresh for you, because you, tell us about that hole you were in.
Yeah, so like, as I was saying, like recently before Christmas, I found myself working on a few different projects, and you know, our industry is just kind of like push. You got to keep going. And even though when you're self-employed, there's no one kind of giving out to you about taking time off, or there's no one kind of telling you you need to keep going, but you have that feeling that you need to just drive it on all the time. So because I suppose I'm familiar with addiction and I know I have to watch out for it, I should have probably seen the signs coming, but like I probably didn't. So I just found myself like working, you know, not seeing friends. I mean, this stuff isn't rocket science really, but when you accumulate them all together, the overall effect is like the person gets into real difficulty. That's my experience anyway. So it wasn't eating right, it wasn't exercising. But I started, more importantly though, I just started becoming completely obsessed with work. And I hate to admit it as well, but I think it's useful if I say it, because other people might identify with it. Like the social media thing as well. Like I'll be giving out to my daughter, like if I see her on her phone too much, and yet like I'm on my phone all the time, like checking Twitter for the latest comment telling me that I'm a great lad, or criticizing me, because both can be addictive. Because you know, you can get into battles with people online as well, and it's great crack for a while, but then you find yourself like 5 or 6 hours have passed by and you've done no work and you're feeling really kind of sad and angry, you know. So the social media thing as well, it's I just think it's kind of another addiction. But anyway, the overall effect of it anyway was that like I just felt really low in myself. I didn't really feel like working. I just felt like just being in bed really. And again, the thing that
breakdown
made it worse
territory, Tyke, are we talking here? Would you describe it as a breakdown?
Yeah, definitely. I'd be very happy to use that term, but it feels like more of a breakthrough though for me in those scenarios, because it's kind of like you do a little bit of a troubleshoot on yourself and you kind of think, well, I probably need to start seeing my friends again. I need to start like working less obsessively, eating right, doing exercise. So it's I think it's actually, there's healing in it rather than, you know, you're kind of gone, you know, the way we kind of look in our society, like the breakdown, someone's kind of gone loopy, like don't talk to them until they come around again and they're well medicated. It's not really kind of like that for me. Like it's more my body saying to me like, okay, man, you need to kind of stop here now, like, and start doing things right again, you know. So I kind of, it's kind of good for you in a way. Like I have them semi-regularly anyway, to be honest, and there's no shame in it.
Absolutely not. Did you get counselling?
Do you know what? I actually tried to get counselling, and there's one group in Ireland called Minding Creative Minds, which I'd love to give a shout out to. They're absolutely brilliant for people working in the arts. I highly recommend them. They were great, but long-term counselling, which is what I thought I might have needed, I did look into that, and there was a lot of waiting lists. I actually couldn't get anyone to speak to me in the short term. So that's another, just for people to be aware of what's kind of going on in Ireland. But there is short-term help there, I suppose. I found myself, and this is just my experience, I found that when I kind of did the bit of troubleshoot on myself and started like looking after my body again and taking those wellness days, actually, like I took about 2 or 3 weeks off work completely. There's, you know, the way what I find in work is like you feel, oh, I can't take time off at the moment because this and this is on. You'll always feel that way. There's always big projects on, as far as, you know, when you're in the arts, there's always something that you should be doing. Just take the time for yourself, do nothing, eat right, bit of exercise, bit of meditation, and try to look after other people as well. Check what other people are getting on, because you get very like lost in yourself. Well, I do anyway. So when I'm asking other people how they're feeling, I kind of get away from myself a little bit. And I found that kind of worked this time around. But I totally would be open to counselling down the road if I could access it. Like, yeah, it's just very hard to access in Ireland, unfortunately.
You put a video up on social, explain to people why you were so quiet.
Yeah.
What kind of a reaction did you get?
I never, and I literally mean never, put up a video that had more of a reaction in terms of personal messages than that. The amount of people in Ireland, so there's people, and obviously I won't name names now, because I won't betray anyone's anonymity here. But no, but people did say, look, it's great that you said it. I would love to say that I'm experiencing, a lot of people use the term burnout. Yeah. So there was people in media, there was people, there was actually someone got on to me who was working in a charity and they felt like they were experiencing burnout, but they weren't being treated with respect about it. They weren't given any time because they just didn't have the opportunity for the time off. I think half the country or maybe half the world is going through burnout. But again, you know, I think the thing about work is if you said, like, I'm struggling with another addiction, it's kind of different. But if you say I'm struggling at work, then you're worried that you're not going to continue to get work. So it's the, you know, it's a kind of a self-fulfilling thing. Like, it's one is feeding the other. But yeah, the amount of people that got on to me and said, thanks for highlighting it. I just don't feel like I could highlight it at the moment, but I'm experiencing the same thing. It was absolutely overwhelming.
So what would your advice be for anyone who is self-employed and feeling overwhelmed?
Like, as hard as it is to do it, I would, what definitely worked for me, I think, was to first of all acknowledge, look, I'm really burnt out here and I can't keep pushing the body and the mind indefinitely. It has to, for me, there's always a bit of a give. At some point, you're going to get to the point where I can't push this anymore. So even if your motivation is just work itself, just think to yourself, if you keep pushing, you're actually not going to be able to work the way you want to work anyway. So like, before, like at Christmas, I was like obsessively trying to reach these targets and do all these different projects and keep all these different people happy. And then I ended up having to take a couple of months off anyway and didn't finish a lot of those projects because I was burnt out. So even if you're only motivated by work, you're doing the right thing by taking a step back. But also just look after yourself. Like, I mean, it's none of this stuff really matters anyway when you think about it. Like, we're all just kind of trying our best in the world, like, you know, so just chill out, like, and just
chill out. Yeah, it's so simple, isn't it? But it's so important just to stop for a second. Come here. Was it a big step then getting back on stage?
I was actually just thinking about that this morning. To be honest, I'm always nervous before I go on stage anyway. Like,
understandably, yeah.
Yeah, so there's no big, it's actually, to be honest, being back on stage at the moment is just a pleasure because we're touring. Like, I'm in Brighton at the moment now. Like, we were in Edinburgh last week, and because I'm back in good form, everything is just kind of fine. And I'm not as obsessive about the work. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to the venues. I'm pottering around Brighton. Like, Brighton is mad crack. I highly recommend it to anyone. Like, they're hipsters, but they're doing it well.
Yeah.
It's authentic. You know, like, the dogs are well-dressed. Like, a lot of the dogs are well better dressed than I am. But I'm just loving it. Like, because, again, my state of mind is really good.
You're in the moment. Sounds like you're just living in the moment a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. But again, when you're pushing work too hard, I find your mind isn't really there. So you're just kind of like following through with stuff. So you're not actually enjoying it. And then you find yourself a couple of years later going, oh, did I do that time or whatever? You know, I know this is all kind of cheesy and obvious stuff, but it is about getting back into the moment, I suppose. That's what works for me anyway.
So you're in Brighton at the moment. When are you coming home and where's the gigs?
So I'm in Brighton tonight and then London tomorrow, sold out, which is amazing. I'm delighted about that. And
amazing.
Bristol is the following night. I'm doing Manchester and Liverpool at the weekend. There's still tickets there for that, if there's any Manchester or Liverpool people listening. And then I come back for the Prodigal Son's return to Cork on the 2nd and 3rd of June in the Everyman. So I'd love people to come to that. And even people in Dublin, somebody said to me recently, like, oh, it's a pity I missed you in Dublin. And what I said to that guy was, it's 2.5 hours in the motorway to Cork. Like, you could still come to Cork. Imagine that.
It is on in the Everyman in Cork on the 2nd and the 3rd of June. And you can check out tykehickey.com for more info on tickets and that kind of stuff. I used to live in Bristol. That's another great town to potter around. So enjoy all the street art, and it's a very good music scene there. So enjoy every second of that. And thanks for coming on the show and chatting to me, Tyke. And I wish you the best of luck.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
See you, love. Bye.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.